Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden Wallen, intern Draven, whole gang's here. It's Wednesday, September 23rd. Hump day, as Cam and that big-ass camel would always say.
I don't even think we mentioned yesterday was the first day of fall.
We did not. Second day of fall, I've showed up in the first hoodie of the season, so we are good to go. We are ready to ride. How are we today? Thumbs down from Hayden. Wow, jeez. Again, another bad day.
Upset again, jeez.
How are you, Cameron?
I'm good. I'm starting to get into the SEC football spirit, I think. I think it's starting to grow on me. As we get closer and I realize, oh, wait, we have college football this weekend. Real college football, not just these random teams that have been running around. I'm starting to feel it a little bit. I don't think I'm quite there yet, but I think when I see everybody kicking off at like noon and I see actual SEC football teams on the field, I think then I'm going to be ready. My body will be ready.
We're getting close.
It's coming.
I guess the big news of the day, at least right now, is doesn't look like the SEC is going to clear Cade Mays. That would be the big news of the day so far. Greg Sankey spoke and said, yeah, I think we got a pretty good rule in place already. The current rule is appropriate, he says. Talking about regarding people transferring within the conference. And he said, look, basically like you guys put me in charge. You guys wanted this rule. I'm just going to protect you from yourselves. Like you say you want this rule, so we're going to have this rule. We're not going to pick and choose, and I'm not going to give it give exemptions and make exceptions. Because we want this rule in place. Now, if you guys don't want the rule anymore, change it. We'll vote to change it. Which obviously isn't going to do Tennessee any favors this year.
So what's the point of the NCAA then? Why did we have to go for them to get them cleared as well?
I guess the NCAA is just like, we're cool with it. It's fine. It's kind of like, your parents. Your mom tells you to go ask your dad, but they've already talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they know the dad's not going to let you do it, but mom don't want to be the bad guy. Or vice versa. Go ask your mom. Mom's not going to let you. Sorry, son. I was going to let you, but mom said no. She's the boss around here.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA gets to say, yeah, that's cool. Cleared. But the conference is like, nah, doesn't look. You know, that's not official, but, you know, Greg Sankey spoke today and basically said, hey, the current rule is appropriate. The current rule is you can't transfer within your conference without having to sit out a year. Unless you're a grad transfer. I don't know what Tennessee's next play would be if that was the case. I don't feel like you can appeal the SEC. Like, I feel like that would just be the end of it.
Yeah, and you really don't have time to appeal the SEC right now either, at least for this first game. I don't know what the process is there, but it seems like Sankey is, like you said, he's being very firm with it. So I would just have to double check and see I think there was a couple other guys that were transferring within conference. I would expect all of them to not get cleared, Vin.
Well, yeah, I think in the SEC especially, that'll be clear. I mean, you had the case yesterday. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, Cam, but the Ole Miss safety, Otis Reese.
Oh, yeah.
He is trying to transfer, or he has transferred to Ole Miss, and he has not gotten cleared. He's trying to transfer from Georgia to Ole Miss, and he's, you know, basically, he tried to take it upon himself and put out a statement, basically laying out that Georgia lied to him, that he was manipulated by Kirby Smart, that he wanted to transfer. He, like, said he sent a text message saying, like, hey, I told Georgia I wanted to transfer at the beginning of October, which then I would have been able to redshirt and, like, you know, I would have been eligible to play this year. But Kirby basically texted me back saying, don't give up on your team. Don't quit on your team. We need you. If you play out the season for me, I will make sure I sign everything and get you everything you need to go transfer and be able to play. Like, I will go sign all this paperwork. I will do whatever you need for me to do. And he was saying that didn't happen. That he was lied to by Georgia and then manipulated to stay in play, that Kirby then did not help him with his transfer, that Kirby has not helped him get cleared at Ole Miss, and that, you know, basically the culture at Georgia just made it impossible to be there as a black man who had to deal with a bunch of racism. Which to me, the NCAA part of the round said, so you dealt with racism and you want to transfer to a school in Mississippi called the Rebels. I don't know if that lines up, but you know, you see Greg Sankey address this rule as a couple players are waiting in conference. Yeah. And, you know, it's not just Cade Mays, it's this guy as well. I don't know if there are any other.
I think there was somebody that transferred to Kentucky. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Joey. Was it Joey Gates or Gatewood?
Gatewood, yeah.
Did he transfer this year? Like he?
I think he's in the same group of like all these.
Right. So like he left. So he played. I guess he didn't play at Auburn last year, but.
But he was on the roster.
Yeah, like the latest update I saw is that like they basically Auburn was telling Kentucky they're cool with it if he doesn't play against them week one, basically. Was that like the gentleman's agreement they had?
Yeah, that's what they say. But then, like the first headline, when you look up Joey Gatewood waiver, says no gentleman's agreement between UK and Auburn.
Okay.
So maybe that's just like hearsay.
Yeah. Just a little rumors with the boys.
Yeah, Stoops says there's no agreement between Kentucky and Auburn. Still waiting to hear on Gatewood.
Which rivals, you know, the Rivals Network, whoever covers them for either Auburn or Kentucky, then came out and was like, no, we stand by it that there is a report that there is an agreement. Like, it would make Auburn and Kentucky look weird if they're making that agreement, so maybe.
Yeah, I see that, but. Huh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so the school came out and, you know, Stoops came out and said, no, there's no agreement, no gentleman's agreement. I'm waiting to hear back from the league because it's an SEC to SEC school transfer, so we're waiting to hear back from them, which I would appear, you know, it would appear that they're not going to get cleared. The SEC's not going to clear that.
Yeah, from everything Sankey said, that's what you would think.
Right. So maybe that's completely useless, and this week isn't going to really matter, and it seems as if there isn't going to be any transferring in conference this year. Now, maybe that gets changed in the offseason. It's just kind of wild that in a season where eligibility doesn't matter and it's a pandemic and you need as many buys as possible, they're still like, nah, not going
to
happen.
Like, I understand him trying to be firm with the rule and everything, but I am surprised that, yeah, he didn't be like, okay, this is a really weird year all around. We just can ignore everything this year almost, but.
So that's the big news here in Knoxville today. It does not appear as if this waiver is going to go through, according to what Greg Sankey has said. There hasn't been any official ruling. I haven't seen that yet, but that's where all signs are pointing. Got a pretty wild update coming out of the NFL as well. We had that story a little bit before we went off the air yesterday about how the Chargers hurt Tyrod Taylor. It is now reported that they punctured his lung, which seems pretty dangerous. Like, can't you die that way? Like, you can die from like your lungs being punctured, right? Like,
yeah.
It seems pretty dangerous. And that's also,
especially if they're like injecting something accidentally like into your
yeah. And like I said yesterday, that's probably why you'll see Anthony Lynn be like, no, we gotta give this guy's job back.
I think Tyrod's already declared out this Sunday.
Right, yeah, but I just mean like if he, like I said yesterday, I didn't think there's any way Tyrod would be playing this week, even if he was healthy enough. I just think you say he's your starting quarterback when healthy, and then you let Justin Herbert keep starting to see if he can maybe just win that job or be bad enough to where you put Tyrod back in. But now yeah, maybe if Herbert balls out this week, maybe that changes, but then you'll see a big lawsuit.
Yeah, yeah. Charges, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lawsuit already.
And the Chargers already have had problems with their previous team doctor, where I believe he lost his license and was hitting the bottle too hard. Wasn't really on the up and up. Now they got a new one that's out here puncturing lungs, and then you wonder, like, oh, yeah, that's why half their team is always hurt. That's why Derwin James is always hurt. That's why every time someone's playing, you're worried about them tearing their ACL because the Chargers just have bad medical staff, it appears. Pretty fun NBA game last night. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah. The mother boys don't know how to act. Back in the White Claw Studios. Pick you up a 12-pack or a 6-pack or some singles of White Claw, only 100 calories, made pure. We appreciate White Claw for their support. Please drink responsibly. Another update about Tennessee's opener against South Carolina. Hayden, you said you had it. A little bit of breaking news coming from, I believe it was the VolQuest guys that had that first, or just a wide report, I guess. Maybe Pruitt's addressing just the media. Pruitt is addressing the media, so maybe that's where it came from. Anyways, where's the update you got?
D. Beckwith not going to be traveling to South Carolina, suffering an ankle injury this week.
So D. Beckwith, That's the freshman from Florida, right? Is he from Florida?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly where he's from, but he plays tight end, running. He's been playing running back with Gray out of practice, so pretty versatile.
Yep. Okay. No, he's from Alabama.
That's what I was going to say Alabama.
Yeah, Mikal Wyman's who I was thinking of.
Yes, yes.
He's from Florida. Okay, so yeah. Beckwith is from Florence, Alabama. He was the guy they wanted to put at running back and do his little short yardage, and they thought he could do it. And he won't be traveling with the team. I don't know if that's a big deal. Although between that and I don't know if it matters that Carlin Fields and me opted out yesterday.
That's actually a positive.
Just get that scholarship back, or
yes.
I don't know if it works like that.
I don't want him on the field, especially at South Carolina.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. That was like his only career moment was fumbling against South Carolina. You are correct about that. But like Tennessee running back depth, is that an issue going into game one? I mean, you pretty much have Tim Jordan gone from last year.
I mean, it's a concern. I mean,
you have Gray and Chandler, but I mean, if one of those guys gets banged up,
then you're really in trouble.
Then you're in trouble with only one back that you feel good about. You might see the eighth position change between Jeremy Banks. You might find Jeremy Banks back at running back one way or the other.
Four carries, three fumbles.
Feed the bull.
Feed him.
So running back depth, is that an issue game one?
I wonder if T. Hodge is going to make the trip, because I remember he was hurt this during camp, wasn't he?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was. Either that or he was out with contact tracing.
Yeah, one of the two.
But, yeah, he was out at practice.
I feel like everyone on the team's been out at some point during practice. But, okay. Go back to that depth chart yesterday. Who else did they have listed at running back? Do we have the depth chart still pulled up? Okay. I got it right here. So, at running back, they just have two names on there.
Yeah.
At tailback. I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean that that's all I can play. But that's just the two they feel good enough about listing. That means we don't have a third down. We don't have a third back that you can feel good enough about to put on there.
Might have to go five wide.
Might have to. Might have to put Crouch out there running. Starting linebacker is going to be out there taking snaps from running back. Okay, so that's I don't know if D. Beckwith would have gotten any play as a freshman first game on the road, but he is not going to get any play because he is going to be out. Jerry Pruitt addressing the media, he continues to say the right things, in my opinion. Now, granted, like it's affecting Tennessee at this point, but I mean, he makes the point that anybody that logically thinks about the discrepancy of power when it comes to college athletes and coaches, Jerry Pruitt just calls it what it is. Says coaches are free to take jobs and leave as they fit. Why aren't players? Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity anytime to choose if we want to go take another job. There's no penalty for coaches. Why should there be one for student athletes? That's a pretty easy starting point for a lot of people who are like, hey, this is kind of unfair how players get policed versus coaches who, make millions and millions of dollars and are much, much more responsible for the well-being of the other party, right? Like,
yep.
Players not really responsible for the coach's well-being. Right? I mean, like, the dynamic is not really there. They should be worried about how they affect the coach. I mean, like, do they want to come create trouble in the program? No, obviously. You don't want to come and get anybody in trouble. You don't want to physically beat up the coach. You don't want to do any of that. But outside of that, you're there to benefit from the coaching. And in exchange, the coach makes millions and millions of dollars for the wins that you guys hopefully get him. On the other hand, the coach is there to foster and groom and help mature the young men, right? Like you go in there, I would imagine almost every recruiting pitch at some point has said, I will treat him as if he were my own son, right? I imagine every recruiting pitch where you talk to somebody's parents, you tell them, I will treat them as if they are my own son. Well, why is dad leaving, mom? Why is he packing up? Why is he leaving? Where's he going? I'll be back, slugger. I'm just going on a business trip for a couple years. Dad's got a new family, but I'll be back. Still hope you do well. I'll check in on Zoom every now and then. We can FaceTime. but I got a new family I'm going to go take care of. Right? I mean, like that. You would imagine that's every recruiting pitch. I'll treat you as if you're my own son. I will make sure your son becomes a man. We will make sure he graduates. We will make sure this and this and this happens. As long as he's at this school, I'll take care of him. And then sometimes months later, that coach turns around and leaves your son there by himself with people he's unfamiliar with. Like, I mean, you see it every time there's a coaching change, right? People get processed.
Yeah.
People transfer. People have their scholarships removed. They're told to look elsewhere. That happens. We all know that. We also know it's really unfair. We make it infinitely tougher for the player to break up with the school than we do the coach to break up with the school. Or the school to break up with the coach, even. But when the player's like, hey, this fit doesn't work for me. Hey, I don't want to be here anymore. Keep in mind, I only have like a finite number of years I can be here playing anyways. Yeah. Like, forget the actual game of football, because we have a finite number of years you can play the actual game of football. Like, I would imagine, you know, if you're an 18, 19-year-old freshman, you're looking and you're saying, man, I got 10 years. Maybe. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a three-year college career, four-year college career, and then an eight-year, you know, or six- or seven-year career in the pros. Most people don't get a six- or seven-year career in the pros.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You have a finite number of years you can play football. Yeah, sorry. You're going to have to lose one of them because your coach and you didn't get along. Or you didn't want to be at the school anymore, or whatever. Like, whatever you think is best for you to leave, we're then going to turn around and say, nope, sorry. I know you only got like 12 years of playing football left in your life, but one of them is going to be sent sitting out because you decided you didn't want to go to school anymore. Now, the guys in the band, or the regular students, if they want to go somewhere else, like, they can be in the band. They can go play and intramurals at a new school or do anything like that. Yep. They're fine.
But if you're an 18-year-old that somehow didn't make the right decision at 18 years old.
At 17 usually, right? 17, like usually you make that decision when you're 17. And like if you have all of a sudden changed your mind at 19 or 20, like, hey, sorry.
Oh, the coach just put on the front and I didn't know what I was actually getting into when I got to this city?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Or even you're just out like, of luck. Or even just like, hey, there's a pandemic. I want to be closer to my family. Or, hey, my dad's suing the school.
Yeah. I don't want to be here for that, yeah.
Or, hey, like, I've dealt with some people I don't really like that have called me the N-word. I don't really want to be around here anymore. I don't feel comfortable at Georgia. Which, by the way, that's the second time. Maybe that safety from Ole Miss was like, maybe Otis Reese is like, hey, it worked for Justin Fields. They called me the N-word, too.
I mean,
I hate racism. I don't want to be racially targeted. So you're going to Mississippi? A school called the Rebels?
You're probably not the best choice with that argument, but
Jerry Pruitt said 24 minutes ago that basically they're still waiting to hear about Cade Mays. They asked him, like, when does he need to know if Cade Mays is available for the opener? And he said, I guess just before we get on the plane. Because, I mean, I guess if, you know, Cade's not eligible, he won't make the trip, right? I mean, I don't think you can take. Can you take players there? Is it against the rules? Or I know you can only take a certain amount, so you wouldn't take that guy. He said, I guess before we get on the plane. He's been working, preparing to play this week, and we have a plan either way. I would just say before we get on the plane. So giving basically the SEC until, what, Friday? I'd imagine Tennessee fries out on Friday.
Yeah, Friday morning, so they're supposed to leave.
Is that the usual schedule during game weeks?
Sometimes they leave on Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it's Friday morning this week.
I would imagine with the pandemic, it's always going to be the day before. I would imagine you're not getting down there 2 days early under pretty much any circumstances. And quite frankly, I'm a little surprised they're not leaving the day of.
Since it's a not game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that would be a little problematic. I mean, because you got to get there. You got to get ready. You don't want the players' legs or, you know, it's probably a 2-hour flight?
Yeah.
Basically. If you went up and down from Tyson over there. Which that probably wouldn't be bad enough. They could probably handle it. I'm actually surprised they're not doing that. But maybe they just want to set the precedent and follow it all year. Like, hey, we're leaving Friday. That way, in case it's a noon game, you don't have to worry about having different rules and different protocols.
I think they just like them to stay at the hotel the night before. Because don't they do that here in Knoxville,
too? They do that here in Knoxville, too. Yeah. They do. They make them all go. I want to say it used to be the Marriott, but I don't know for sure. It might be the Tennessean now, or I don't know, one of those hotels down there where they want all the team together, keep them out of trouble. Because as a coach, you get it. You don't want one of your players getting in trouble the night before the game.
Yeah.
You wake up on Saturday and can't find Greg. Where's Greg? Greg's in the slammer. Greg got into it last night. on the strip at a house party. So they're flying out Friday morning, headed to Columbia. What's that spread currently at? We holding steady at three?
It was up to 3.5 last night when I looked.
Up to 3.5?
Yeah.
Monday on the Vols. Okay. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the week. We'll give those Tennessee updates. Anything else we've missed? I mean, that's pretty much all Pruitt said. He says the right things. I like Pruitt when he addresses the media. And that, to be honest, is not something I thought I would say when Tennessee hired him. I didn't think he would be so savvy when speaking.
Yeah, that was one of the things everybody was kind of concerned about with him coming in.
Not only like would he be able to do it, but also like would he even want to do it? You know what I mean? Like,
he's gotten better over the last 2 or 3 years, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I will say he even like was good when he got here. Like, I mean, his first press conference was pretty good.
Yeah, definitely better than I expected. For sure.
And I mean, since then, like, it's easy to say that about an opening press conference. I mean, I won't say that's like mostly like written. And like scripted, but like you have an idea, you hit your notes. You say what you want to say, but ever since then, like the last year and a half, I mean, Pruitt has been a good figurehead of this program, of this city, of this state. And I do think, I mean, he's talked about transfers before, and he's always kind of been on that side, but you know, that was when we were wanting Brandon Kennedy in here. You know what I mean? Like, we were trying to get that grad transfer changed. And, like, now we're trying to get Cade. I wonder if he actually feels that way. Or if, like, being at Tennessee has made him feel that way. Like, did he feel that way before he got here? When he was at Alabama, did he feel that way? Because I bet Saban didn't feel that way. He always had guys trying to leave.
I don't think Cade's going to play this year.
I mean, I think you're on the right side of the line right now, in my opinion. Like, if we're just looking at gambling, I would imagine that would be the favorite. If my bookie put up odds, it would probably be like minus 300 on the no right now, probably, at least.
And he might not ever play for Tennessee.
He might not ever play for Tennessee, although it'd be hard for him to go pro, I think, after sitting out for a year just because, I mean, it wouldn't be hard. He'd get drafted, or at least, like, he'd make a team. But, like, I think the money that you could earn by coming back and being good would be worth it, in my opinion. I know that is a concern, and you know, especially in a season where there's so many people opted out. So, like, if you were going to like go to the draft after not playing, it would probably be this year. You know what I mean? Just because there's going to be a lot of people in that situation, like half of LSU's team. Although I guess there's probably a little bit less now that the Big Ten's playing, right? I mean, there's still going to be like a handful of guys, but like Penei Sewell and like the guy from the linebacker from Penn State, was it Micah Parsons?
Yeah, Micah Parsons. Yep.
That's kind of the only two big names, right, that have opted out. I guess it'll be like is it Lance from North Dakota State?
Trey Lance.
He didn't really opt out. He just doesn't really have a chance to play. But
they don't have a season scheduled yet.
But outside of that, the rest of the players should be back now, right? I mean, I know, what's his name, LSU.
Jamar Chase.
Yeah, Jamar Chase. Yeah, he as well. Yeah. I said the LSU guys. So not as many as we originally thought with Ohio State guys being out, but I don't think that'll happen with Cade. It might be a possibility, though, Hayden. Because, I mean, you would think, like I said, it always comes down to me with football. And, like, the reason I think these guys need to get paid in college is, like, you have a finite number of years to do what you want to do to where you can where you have earning potential and you can make a bunch of money and take care of your family for years and years and, like, be able to do that. And it's ticking constantly when you're a football player. It's a violent game. And, like I said, the average NFL career, not very long. All right, we'll switch gears. We'll dive into last night's NBA game after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Did you do this on purpose, Hayden? As a producer, you over here doing a show within a show? You're shaking your head, yes. So what did you do on purpose? No comment? Okay. I was going to give you credit. I know you did on purpose, bro. I see you working over there with the Tupac coming in to talk about California, to talk about the Lakers. All eyes were on the Lakers and LeBron James last night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I could have played
California Love. Yeah, but all eyes on me works, too. It wasn't California Love last night. I mean, they lost.
Yep.
But all eyes
that's why I didn't do it.
Yeah, all eyes were on them. The Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets, I'll give them one thing. I'll give them a couple things. But one big thing I'll give them is that, man, they are confident and loose. And it comes from the head coach. Like, I don't think there's been many more people in this bubble that has helped his stock more than Mike Malone. Like, I think everyone thought Mike Malone was a good coach, right? But Mike Malone has said all the right things. I don't know if you guys saw the quote before the Clippers game. It might have been before Game 6. It might have been before Game 7. I don't remember. But the Clippers were all wearing their salmon-colored shirts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all over there, like, in their pink shirts, and they're talking about how they were undefeated in that. And they asked Mike Malone about it. And he said, well, I don't care, because we're wearing all black. And I guarantee you my record's better than all black. We're headed to a funeral. Basically, like, saying they're going there to finish the Clippers. He's like, I don't have a salmon shirt. I'm wearing all black. And I've won more games in all black than they have salmon. He just says all the right things. And last night, I mean, the Nuggets win a game. Now, they almost choked all over themselves. Like, that fourth quarter, they were down to, as we call it, nut-cutting time. It was put-up or shut-up time. They blew a 20-point lead, let it get down to three. And it looked like, oh, man, they're about to blow this.
Yep.
At one point, the people who had bet on the Nuggets plus 6.5 were probably sweating because, I mean, there's like 6 minutes left and it's a 3-point game. And you're like, wait a second, how did this just happen? But after that game, they're like, yeah, we should be up 2-1. We really let game two get away. He's like, yeah, they blew us out game one. That's fine. But we came back. We should have won game two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decide we're not going to let this one get away and we're winning this one. But we feel like we should be up 2-1. The Nuggets are here, and like they're not scared, and it makes it funner. It makes it a more fun series.
Yeah.
After the game, you have them talking about how they have two superstars. Malone just called it out. No, we have two superstars. Jamal Murray, a superstar. Like, Jamal Murray, I mean, he is, you know, he's one of those guys like Mike Malone who has really, really helped his stock.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone knew Jokic was great, but there was questions about Jamal Murray and how good he could be. Like, Denver gave him that 5-year, I want to say they gave him a 5-year, like, $150 million extension. He signed that, like, last offseason. And a lot of people are like, whoa, you're giving how much money to Jamal Murray? Like, you're locking in this core? I mean, I guess that's fine. He's a good player, but he's worth, like, $150 million?
$170 million.
Okay, so it's even more than that. It was $170 million.
It was last July.
So, like, after they made their run to the conference, or to the second round, got knocked out. He had a bad game seven last year, too, when they got knocked out by the Blazers. Like, he had a whole offseason of kind of being like, can you handle this moment? Can you come up when it matters?
But yeah, his deal runs through the 24-25 season.
And the Nuggets like, we're buying in. Here's 5 years, $170 million. And everyone's like, that seems like too much. And then Jamal Murray all of a sudden has turned that to look into like a pretty fair deal with the shots he's made this playoffs. And yesterday was no different. He hit two threes that I think one pumped it to 8 and then another that pushed it to 12. And at that point, you knew the game was over. And he was just he was on fire. Everyone knew what Nikola Jokic had. At least, like, people who keep up with NBA basketball. Like, there might be some casuals out there who are like, who the hell is this guy? He doesn't look like he should be good. And he's shooting, like, jumpers off of one foot, falling away, and it's, like, the weird foot.
You see him hitting them, though.
Yeah, like, and then you're like, the first time you see him hit one, you're like, wait a second, there's no way he can do that again. And then he hits it again, you're like, oh, my God, what is this guy doing? And he has zero athleticism, but it doesn't matter when you're just so unorthodox that people can't know how to guard you, like. He's not going up in normal ways. He is coming up and shooting off the wrong foot and making them. But now after that game, yeah, you have Mike Malone just doubling down. Michael Malone saying, last year we knew what we were getting from Nikola, but what kind of game would Jamal have? That's no longer the case. Now I know every night what I'm getting from Jamal. He's a superstar, which I disagree with that take.
Yeah.
I mean, superstar. I mean, because I subscribe to the thought that there's only like 5 superstars in the NBA.
Yeah. Like, he could be a star, but he's a star. I don't think about superstar.
He's a star. And, like, I think there are 5, maybe like when Curry's back and KD's back, we'll call it 7.
Mm-hmm.
7's the number I feel like. I feel like to be a superstar, I have to be able to drop you on a team and you can completely, like, change that identity of a franchise.
Yep.
And you can, like, make them a championship contender. Or at least, like, make them an elite team.
Yeah.
I cut the line off at like James Harden. And like he doesn't even like really make you a championship contender. He makes you a really good team. He makes you a good regular season team. Yeah. And he makes you like he's so good that
I would say he puts up superstar numbers.
Yeah, he puts up superstar numbers and can like make you win as well. But you're not gonna win the big thing. So like I said, he's kind of my cutoff. Him and like Anthony Davis, although Anthony Davis has been just as good as LeBron in these playoffs.
Yeah, he has.
I don't want to say it's like an 0-2 Shaq Kobe run, but it feels like an 0-2 Shaq Kobe run. Where they're both gonna average like 30 points in the finals and like they might give the MVP the finals MVP to LeBron, they might give it to Anthony Davis, you don't really know. They might give it to LeBron, but Anthony Davis deserves it.
Yeah.
But it feels like they are like equal footing. So I think you could drop Anthony Davis on a solid team, and he could take you to a contending team. Like, he couldn't do that with the Pelicans, but they were just so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one year he did single-handedly get them to the second round. But, like, you know, if you put him in the East, if you dropped him in the East, he would be able to build a team and make them contenders, in my opinion. But, like, no, Nicole, Jamal Murray's not that. I don't even know if I'd call Jokic a superstar. He's close.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd definitely say he's close for Murray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's close. But the Nuggets, they look like they belong. Like I said, we've had one blowout in two games that they either could have won or did win. You buying them having a chance in this series? Because I'm still not buying that. I still think the Lakers are better. I still think the Lakers win this series. But, like, I do think the Nuggets prove they at least like weren't a fluke, and like I didn't want to see them get swept. I wanted to see them like win a couple games, and they won one, and they've played good. But I still think this is the Lakers series. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. I don't think like of course the Nuggets are just gonna lay down or anything. Like they may get another game, maybe two more. I don't know, but the Lakers, the Lakers are obviously the better team, and I think they'll end up doing enough to win this series and survive getting out of here.
Any other thoughts by you, Draven? You disagree with that? I mean, like it. At the end of the day, the Lakers just have two better players.
Yeah.
Like, James and Davis are just better. And you saw it in even in the fourth quarter. Like, they were dead in the water, and then all of a sudden they moved to that zone, and Rondo's in the passing lanes, and they're, like, running around, and it really looked like they were going to come back on that game. I don't think the Nuggets are going to be able to count on, 26 points from Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
No. He's way too inconsistent. And, I mean, do we really think LeBron just going to lose to the Nuggets? I feel like it's just more about LeBron and his mindset. I just feel like there's no way he's going to lose to the Nuggets.
I
feel like there's no way that's going
to
happen.
I also don't think the NBA, if you buy conspiracy theories at all, like they're not going to let him lose to the Nuggets. Like,
exactly.
That's not going to happen. Like
Jamal Murray, though, I will say this. Speaking on Jamal Murray, I saw this stat. I thought this was pretty crazy. 8-for-11 from three-point range in clutch time, which is, within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of the game.
I mean, that checks out. That passes the eye test. Like, he was 2-for-2 last night and asked the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Utah Jazz, remember all those threes, he would rein in on them during clutch time. So every now and then the stats will back up what you see and what you think. 8-for-11 is steep, but honestly, I thought it was probably like 20-for-25.
Yeah,
I thought he's hit like 20 of the clutch three-pointers.
It seems like he's
the
only one hitting them,
Now, even like, there's the second one didn't even count as a clutch time shot either. Like, because they're already up 9, so.
Yeah.
So he has hit a lot more, like, in the last 3 minutes. Like, against the Jazz, he would bury them in some games where they were trying to come back, too. So, like, but, no, like, he is becoming a star in front of our eyes. I don't know, like, where he's going to be at the end of the year when you start talking about point guards. That's why I struggle calling him, like, a superstar, just because, like, even at the end of the year, like, is Jamal Murray all of a sudden going to be, like, a top 3 point guard? He might be, but, like, I feel like Curry and I'd even say another year of Chris Paul.
Kyrie. You throwing Kyrie in there?
That would be an interesting debate.
That will, yeah.
I mean, like, we'll see what happens with Kyrie. And, like, it's impossible to think of Kyrie as a player without thinking of all, like, the bad things you get with Kyrie.
Yeah.
Like, the off-the-court stuff. And when I say off-the-court stuff, I really just mean, like, the locker room just kind of weirdness and, like, kind of the standoffish he has with his teammates.
Yep.
The ISO ball he plays. Like, I would probably rather see KD and Murray play together.
I think I agree with that, yeah.
But, like, Kyrie's still really good. But I don't know. I don't want to, like, be a prisoner of the moment. I just don't really like Kyrie's game. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I really don't like Kyrie just kind of as a personality either. But, like, that's why I struggle calling Murray. Because, like, I think when you, like, get down to the point guard, especially if you start counting, like, Luka as a point guard.
Yeah.
And, like,
you count James Harden
as a point guard,
that's
right.
That's tough, too.
Which I don't really count James Harden as a point guard. So I wonder where Murray will be. Like, like I said, Curry's going to be back.
D D-Lil, too.
Yeah, Lillard. I mean, as Morant and even Trae Young, which Murray's bigger than Trae Young, so he's better on defense. But, like, I think, you know, Trae has more offensive game than Murray has. So we'll see, like, whenever we get ready at the end of this year. But good for the Nuggets. Bad for the Lakers, although, like I said, if I'm them, I'm like, hey, they're not going to shoot more free throws than us. LeBron was kind of complaining about that, said, like, in the third quarter that the Nuggets were in the penalty with, like, 3 minutes gone. There's, like, 9 minutes left in the third quarter. They're already in the penalty. He says that's not going to happen. Like, Jeremy Grant's not going to get 12 free throws next game.
Yeah. Jeez.
And if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, hey, I went 6 of 26 from 3, shot 23%. And we were still in that game with a chance to – there was a couple-minute stretch. There was like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, where like the Nuggets weren't scoring, but the Lakers couldn't cut it from three to get it closer. They kind of let the Nuggets survive. I'm pumped for game four tonight. The East got a little bit of a break. We'll see what that effect has on Gordon Hayward and his ankle. I'm more interested to see what the coaching – chess matches will be coming out of the long break. How Spo responds to what Brad Stevens did different in Game 3. I wouldn't imagine he will fall for what happened in Game 3, which was like, hey, Daniel Tice is going to hang out at the three-point line. So then Bam had to like guard Daniel Tice at the three-point line, which gave Jaylen Brown a wide-open lane to just have layup after layup after layup. I would imagine that's not going to happen. They'll be like, Daniel Tice, if you want to shoot threes, bro, you go right ahead. Go out there and shoot 10 of them.
Yeah, if you're going to lose the Daniel Tyus shooting threes, you just got to lose the Daniel Tyus shooting threes.
I would imagine that'll be an easy fix that Spo has. Like, hey, you know, we're going to switch off on this if you go out there. Maybe Iguodala's ankle will be a little bit healed and he can give out there and give some minutes and guard Tyus at the three-point line. I don't know, but I'm interested in that chess match. But last night, the Nuggets got it back 2-1. We got at least a little bit of a series. Mm-hmm. And now we get a game four. The East has caught up with the West. Game four tonight. Looking forward to that. We'll talk about it at some point during the show. We will take a look around, see what we've missed so far. Since we've been on the air after the break, it's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Did you do this one on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what you did there. Last note on the Lakers, really bad rebounding performance from them, led by Anthony Davis. 2 rebounds. Had 0 for like until like the 5 minute mark of the fourth quarter. That was a talking point. And, you know, Anthony Davis still scored 27 points, and he was riding high off of his game 2 performance. But I'd imagine you'll get a motivated Anthony Davis in game 4. That's usually how he'll work. He'll have a really good game and then have one where you question him, and then he'll come out and respond. That's what he did in the Rockets and the Blazers series. But McGee and Howard didn't help him. They combined for 2 rebounds themselves. So the Lakers' bigs weren't on the glass last night, the team wasn't on the glass. Speaking of California love, let's head out to Los Angeles, where Tyrod Taylor had his lung punctured by Chargers team doctors prior to kickoff. So the thought process was they were giving him like an injection for pain. Is that what was happening?
Yeah, he had cracked ribs, so they were trying to give him some, I guess, some of that numbing stuff to keep him going. But
did he want to play with a cracked rib? How long does it take a cracked rib to get healed? Like, I guess you're going to be in pain.
I think he was worried about Herbert.
I know, but I feel like a cracked rib is going to be pretty tough to go out there and throw football from, which I guess...
That's why they're numbing it.
I guess that's easier than going out there with a punctured lung and doing it.
And the doctors have now told him, you should wait indefinitely to play.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they've apparently have told him now. So Herbert's expected to start on Sunday.
How long are we thinking? For Herbert, or for excuse me, for Tyrod, when they say indefinitely, do they know?
I'm not sure how long that takes to heal. Let's see if there's like a recovery time.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know rib injuries are just they just have to heal, and it takes
this says
6-7
depends
weeks.
On the severity of the injury, but most punctured lungs take 6 to 8 weeks to heal.
Yeah. I would imagine Tyrod not going to be back on the field for at least a month and a half. That seems kind of dangerous to go out there and play with.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Especially when you're not like the franchise.
Especially when your ribs are already messed up too, I feel like.
And it's not like the drop-off from you to Herbert is steep. It might even be an upgrade.
It's an increase.
Yeah.
I bet Keenan Allen's happy.
Keenan Allen, his stock is booming.
But yeah, really weird situation there. They are...
So what is the recall here? Like, what's the recourse? Is Tyrod going to be able to sue the Chargers? Like, will he be able to come and, like, hold them accountable? Because I guess you could make the case this – I don't want to say hurts his money because he's going to get his money, but you could be like, hey, you're ruining my chances of my career, and this is going to shorten my career or limit future opportunities.
Well, I think Draven was saying there's something in the CBA that prevents you from suing if you agree to treatment from medical doctors that are like within the team.
Uh-huh.
There's also this guy from the NFL. He's an NFL Players Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs for the NFL Player Association.
Uh-huh.
He tweeted out about 30 minutes ago, our medical and legal team have been in touch with Tyrod and his agent since Sunday collecting facts. An investigation has been initiated. So they are, I guess, investigating. The NFL Players Association is looking into this. And I feel like even though technically you can't sue with the CBA, if there was some sort of like wrongdoing or just blatant, you know, just bad judgment by the doctors or something, you'd still have some way,
I mean, I don't
to,
know.
Like, to get some compensation.
I mean, I don't know. Trent Williams, he didn't get to do anything with the Redskins, right? I mean,
that's fair, yeah.
Whenever they were the Redskins, RIP. They basically just, he lost confidence in them and refused to play for them. But even then, like, they didn't, like, even trade him for a while. Like, they just made him sit out for a full year. Like, he didn't, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like he's gotten to sue Washington, right?
I think there was an investigation there as well.
Has he gotten to follow any type of litigation? Like, they talked about it and talked about the, like, medical malpractice, but I haven't seen anything where he was able to get compensated or, you know, like I said, he couldn't even really force his way out of Washington. So maybe there is some precedent here.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he was able to file anything, like, official. He was just, like you said, kind of just disgruntled, stuck on the team. But I also didn't see, like, anybody from the Players Association saying they were going to investigate that either at the time. I don't know if that's just a completely different situation or just more of a coincidence here. But, yeah, no, I guess they're investigating that. Who knows how long Tyrod's going to be out now. And if Herbert plays well, it's very hard to, you know, give him back the starting job. So
from an article about Trent Williams, Draven, I do see that this is from Sports Illustrated. They say that Williams could explore filing a malpractice lawsuit against the Redskins. He could argue they owe him a right to reasonable care and that he received unreasonable care and then suffered harm as a result. Like for him, he had like a growth on his head that they told him was fine and ended up being like, I think, cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
But it says there's several hurdles by seeking a review under the CBA. Washington have already begun a grievance process that need to play out in court. So basically, like, I guess Tyrod could file a grievance and they'd have to investigate like what exactly went wrong here. But I mean, I feel like if you give me a shot, you puncture my lung. That seems kind of cut and dry. Although, like they said, Washington would argue that the claims must be resolved exclusively through collectively bargained items. And that would, then refer back to the CBA stuff. So it becomes tough.
Yeah, I think you'd have to jump through a ton of hoops to get anything done, you know, at least through the NFL or Chargers organization, it seems like. But he definitely has a case. He has some sort of case.
It has to be a helpless feeling as a football player, too. I mean, imagine being on the Chargers team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being like a player and like you get banged up. Like, do you trust in that doctor? I mean, I wouldn't.
No, everybody's got to be concerned at that point. You got to be like,
I mean, you have to fire him, right? Like, if you are
you
the team.
Think so.
And that's like malpractice. And I feel like if you are a healthcare professional and you do that to somebody, like, you have to realize, like, hey, that's going to cost me my job. And I hate that he'll lose his job, but like, I also hate that Tyrod Taylor got his lung punctured.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was in the middle of the week during practice or something. This was right before kickoff. I mean, it was literally right before kickoff that all this all this happened.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you could, I mean, if you're the team, which, again, I don't know if you feel that way because of how he played, but if you're the team, you're like, you also might have cost us a victory. I mean, like, I don't know if you feel that way because Herbert played pretty well, but like, in your mind, you're like, hey, you know, our starting quarterback got benched, and there's not many situations where you'd look at that as a positive as a franchise. You know what I mean? Like, if you have labeled somebody your starter, and minutes before the game, like, you have to completely redo your game plan.
Yeah. Like, I know this is already, like, a huge story, but, like, think about it, like, if this was, like, Tom Brady.
Sure.
Like, if this happened to Tom Brady before a game, you'd be, Patrick everybody Mahomes. Would be freaking out. Yeah, exactly. Everybody would be panicking.
I would imagine if that was the case, that guy would get fired.
Yeah, absolutely. Day of, you would think.
So, like, we'll see how that goes. But again, like, yeah, if I'm the Chargers team, I might be like, yeah, you cost us a headache because now we got to deal with this. And, like, we are hurting our own players, and it's going to be tough to explain to people. You also, like, cost us to have to throw Herbert in there early, and now we have a quarterback controversy, like, in week two when we're trying
it's
to make the playoffs.
A whole mess.
Yeah, like, I mean, and like I said, you might have cost us a division game because we feel like if we had our starting quarterback, we would have won with our defense because our defense played really, really well. And maybe Tyrod runs on second and two. And picks up that first down rather than throwing it down the field and throwing an interception. Like, you know, like I said, Herbert played well, so I don't know how much of an argument that actually is. But the Chargers, you would imagine, feel that way. Because, like I said, there's very few situations and very few teams where you have to play your backup quarterback and you feel good about it.
And I think this kind of thing, too, with the whole doctor, so I feel like that's a very routine injection. Like, you always hear about people getting the pain injections, things like that. So, I feel like that's something that you know how to do. You've probably done a ton of times. Not a good look to just randomly miss the guy's ribs and hit his lungs. Like,
hour one in the books, hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with the headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.